Yo!
Hello.
Hi, mate.
Hello. Hello.
What's happening? What's happening, cuz?
All good. Life
You know
is
what? I like this new flow of the podcast now, you know. I feel like we're back in the flizz, no, mate.
where I in. And the listenership as well, just to say this at the start, the listenership is
The
slishnamit is going crazy.
slishnip.
It's going crazy. So yeah, big ups to you lot. Big ups to all the new people that are joining the family as well. Welcome.
We
Obviously, if you're here,
outside.
you already know what it is. Number one motherfucking DJ podcast in Finland. I'm never gonna let that go, you know. I think that's so sick.
We're back in, man. We're back in. We're con the, consistency, brother. I'm gonna keep saying it.
We're here.
Consistency,
Episode
consistency.
140 something or whatever it is now.
No, we're on episode 132. That's what we're on now,
It's
bro.
big enough numbers. It's big
We've been
enough. We're
talking
here.
shit for a long time.
That is a lot of shit.
That is big piles of that is like the shit in Jurassic Park. Oh no, why is it playing music? Stop.
monumental piles.
I don't want to get us fined. I don't want to get
Anyway,
us.
shall we just jump in? Because I know you've got actually just start with the tweet that you just read out to me, because I do think that is a good icebreaker for this week. And I have a tweet that I want to read as well that is going to absolutely kill you.
Oh, the one that I just literally read about the
Let's start there, because I like that.
So I mentioned it to Double, and I think he said we may have covered this before, but we've got heaps of new listeners on here anyway. And this tweet just kind of brought it back. And we actually have special powers as DJs, you know, that we can do this. Normal people can't do what we can do, bro.
Maybe the yeah. That is facts.
Out to Big Biddy. Yeah, I wonder why she's called that. She's got a big booty. Watching DJs literally not pee for hours so they can entertain us with beat drops is pretty iconic. Brother, listen, I have mastered the art of not pissing for 6 hours. And I think it's more than iconic, the body control that is needed and and not even the mental like strength that you need as well. So just like
The self-discipline.
you've just got to kind of put it to the, there's an art of putting it back to the back of your brain.
Yeah, but you know, there's always occasions where, like, I don't know, you might have had like an earlier start, you might have slapped one or two coffees on the journey or something
Oh,
like
and you
that.
got bubble gut.
And no, not the
What?
bubble gut. I'm talking about like when you just need to piss. But you get to a point where you're maybe like an hour and a half or an hour away from finishing the set, and you literally absolutely must piss right now. When it gets to that point, do you know how difficult it is to concentrate on song selection
Bro.
and mixing and doing anything technical when it's like, shit, if I even relax slightly, I'm going to piss my pants.
It's like it gets worse as well. It's like when you know the ending is coming. It's like, I'll tell you what, an example. It's when you need to pee and you're on the way home. You're holding it and you're nice, but the minute you're 5 minutes from your door, that shit's ready to come out. You'll be at the door like trying to get the key
Which
in, and that
key?
you can't
Which
get the key in the door.
key?
It's actually peak, bro.
But yeah,
Oh, I hear it.
it is definitely a superpower doing it during the sets. But those times when it's like your body's like, no, we're not waiting till 4 in the morning
We're
now.
not
It's two
waiting.
a.m. We're going now. Like now, go.
What do you do? Like you'll be stood there
Oh, I
like
have
hold.
not.
You'll
I
be stood there
have.
holding your penis, bro. Just like holding it. You're like you're holding the end of a hose.
No, the first warning sign, if you're ever watching me DJ and I'm ever at this point, the first warning sign is I'll generally move a lot more than I was. Like I'll stamp my feet to the side and I'm just like,
Oh, the
okay,
feet
right.
tap. Yeah, the feet
Because
tapping.
you can't just be like, oh, okay, I need to piss, and that exact moment go. Because song selection, what song's going to be next? You now need to pick a song, especially if it's in the key part of the night. You now need to pick a song that's long enough for you to go for a piss, but it's not going to dead the vibe for having the length of the song. Do you
Yeah, two
know what I mean?
stories.
Perfect example is ASAP Rocky, Fucking Problems. That's a good
Yeah,
one because
that's a good song.
that's about 4 minutes long, yeah. The chorus gets everyone hyped, everyone's singing, but also
This is a dope, isn't it?
Drake's verse and Kendrick's verse can run. Everybody likes all the verses, so it's not going to be out of place if you play the whole song. Do you know what I mean? But other songs, if you're
Isn't
doing, I've got a couple of these key ones here. That one though, that gives you about 4 minutes from the drop, the start of the chorus, to get to the toilet, piss, don't forget to wash your hands and dry your hands and get back to the booth and get the next song ready and drop it in.
You gotta pick the song before, bro. You gotta pick the second song.
Oh yeah, yeah, have it ready.
So if you get back to what, so if you get back late.
Yeah, well, this is the
it's
thing.
Ready.
But if you do get back and you're really pushing it, you've still got to mix it in because you don't have time to do that when you've just dropped a long song. You don't have time to now beat match the next one and get ready. That like there's priorities here, and the priority is get the long song on, get the second
long
song at least
song,
in
not
your
the
head.
Long song.
Long song, at least in your head, know what the next song's going to be and dash to the toilet. But then, what if the toilet is on the other side of the absolutely ram up dance floor?
I was about to say, but it depends on logistics of the venue, exactly. Bro. Like, if it's a new venue you've not been to before, you are screwed because you don't know where the toilet is at this point. So you got to do a toilet check before you start your set, bro, just in case.
You know what? I reckon somewhere. Someone somewhere has definitely pissed in the DJ box to save themselves the hassle into a bottle or into a bin. I can guarantee it.
I've always had nightmares about pissing in a bottle because what is if the piss is a long piss, bro, and the bottle fills up and the next thing it's just splashing.
And you know them ones as well, when you've been waiting that long, it's always the longest piss you've ever done.
Oh, brother. Oh, God. You can feel yourself emptying out. You just feel yourself getting gradually lighter. literally deflating like a balloon, bro.
But yeah, there's definitely a DJ somewhere, 1,000,000% has pissed into the bin or a bottle in the DJ booth. I can almost guarantee it.
I had a situation one time, brother, where it was an after party. It was after jam back in the day. There's a few people staying behind afterwards. One of my boys was there. And he was like so drunk. He thought he was in the toilet in the DJ booth, bro. So the managers come over to me, Stylus, get hold of your fucking boy. And I was like, what? And I looked over and he's in the booth pissing up the wall. But he's that drunk. He doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, brother, I swear. Luckily, I had good relations with the venue and that. And it was like, everyone was a bit drunk and that. But he's just stood there, dick in hand, pissing up the DJ booth wall, bro. This is you went to One Central where we used to do jam, that booth was like a cubby hole thing in there, bro. All over the joint.
Wow. Yeah.
Or not, it wasn't a DJ, but there you go, someone pissed in the booth.
Oh my word.
Absolute violation of life. Well, yeah, I've definitely got ultra strong bladder movements now, mate. That I've learned like over the years.
Your pelvic floor is kicking, yeah?
Get me. Core strength is dense, mate.
I managed to get a six pack from being a DJ.
A six pack from holding pisses.
Just from not pissing. I don't do any core exercise at the gym. I just don't wee.
This guy does not train. He just holds his piss for 4 days. Oh, my days.
I saw a tweet. Anyway, that was actually a very good tweet. But I saw one. That JPrice150 tweeted this, yeah?
I think I've seen this one, actually. Go on.
Last night, I witnessed something I've never seen before whilst DJing. A group of lads holding up green, yellow, and red cards to what they thought of the song.
Oh, my God. Trina, like, dancing on ice, bro. Am I holding up numbers to them?
On X Factor, hold up a big red X above your head when you know that song. But imagine that. A group of lads, they're holding up green, yellow, and red cards, depending on what. You know, we were talking about post-COVID raver entitlement.
That's on a different level, though. That
is like gold standard elite entitlement right there. I don't know how it. First of all.
The pressure.
No, first of all.
I would feel the DP, bro. Every song getting judged with flipping colour markers.
The organisation. Yeah. I wonder how big the cards were as well, because you just held it up with two hands. I'm picturing like a referee's card, one that they can just pull out of their pocket.
Oh, no. I was thinking like one of the ones like what ring girls hold.
Oh, you think like a big. Imagine that. But the organisation that goes into, why have you all brought cards? That is a bit mad. Secondly, what's the mentality? Who came up with this idea? All right, lads, I've got this wicked idea tonight. What are we going to do? Shots? No. Even better than that. Oh, we're going to do drinking games. Should we play Never Have I Ever? No. Even better than that. We're going to take coloured cards to the club, and depending on what the DJ's playing, we'll hold up a green, yellow, or red. That, how did that conversation start? Where did that idea come from?
I do worry. I am concerned for some people's behaviour, bro. Do you feel like it's got to be a TikTok thing?
It's TikTok. It's got to be a TikTok.
But I'd love to know where Lee, what was it, DJ Lee Price, was it?
No, JP. Sorry. I've lost the hand.
I'd love to know where he's based or where he's situated or where this venue was, because I want to know never to take a booking if it arises.
Yeah, as a DJ, I don't know if I was doing the set. I don't know. Actually, I was going to say I don't know how I'd feel about that. I know exactly how I'd feel about that. It would piss me right
off. I'll probably get them removed. I'll probably use my DJ power in that moment. To get him dashed, because that is different levels of peak, mate. I'm sorry. I can't concentrate with people doing when my man's doing that. Never mind dealing with a Karen, mate, a super Karen, mega Karen.
I feel like maybe the depths of hell have opened up and spilled out all of these
revolving
clubgoers now, because I defeated the mega Karen, and now DJs everywhere are paying the price. They're just all of these
double killed the mega Karen, and now they're respawning in all types of forms across
all
the
new
land.
Forms. Yeah, that was it. I've completed Karen level.
Yeah.
And it's just opened the world up to the next level of fuckery. That's it.
My man went through the bonus stage. My man got the bonus level.
we're on the bonus level now, where you've got groups of lads holding up cards.
Techie, bro. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that. Just weird, bro. No way to play.
Yeah, because the thing for me is, if I play, we've mentioned about this before, you know, where you find that, where you lock onto that person that's just standing still, or someone's just making solid eye contact with you, and they're not moving. Yeah. That takes the wind out of my sails so quickly. So if I have a group of lads, and I play a song, if I'm in my vibe, and I play a song, which I think is sick, and then I'm suddenly seeing a bunch of red cards getting
red
held
card.
Up because they don't like the song. That is taking my vibe away instantly, brother. And that's going to fuck up the next 10 minutes of the club for me anyway. Because I'm just going to be like, oh. Like,
it's crazy, isn't it? Because you could have 200 people dancing and one guy holding up a red card, but the red card is going to throw you off, man. And you're going to end up ignoring the 200 people that are enjoying it, which is...
Yeah, we said that before, though. It could be a room full of people having the best time, but if you focus on that one person that's not, that's where your energy goes.
Yeah, 100%. I don't get why. Why do we do that, man? Why is that in our human nature to do that?
Like, I was going
to
say, that's not a DJ thing. That is just generally human nature focusing on negative stuff. You see it online, bro. Yep. You see it with people will focus on like one negative comment that's been made. Even though they might have 100 positive comments, one person says something shit, and that's where the focus and attention goes. It's a weird thing. I don't know.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, especially with you even see it with like famous people who are like super out here, the biggest fan bases in the world, racked up, financially secure, successful, music's great. But then the negative stuff, like they'll tap into that instead. It's tough, man. It's tough. Everybody wants to be liked, innit, really. So like when they're getting negative shit dashed at them, I don't know why we latch onto that. you gotta get that mindset where it just bounces off you, innit.
I'm immune to it now. Like, I'm actually immune. Luckily, I don't get it now. And I think because I haven't done very many interviews recently, like, I'm not exposed to that. But do you know what I mean? What made me immune to
it? Did you get a lot of negative?
Well, yeah, but not on my own channel.
Right, okay.
I'd get one or two. But I think I've discussed this before as well. I had one or two in the past that actually I kind of took on board and learned from. And one of them I remember was someone just wrote, "These thumbnails are shit."
See, I would laugh at something like that, though.
Yeah, but at the time, because I designed everything myself and I put everything that went into the channel, I did myself. I felt like, rah, someone's really attacking my creativity here. But then I actually thought, maybe they are shit. I'm not a graphic designer. I know I'm not amazing at it. Let me change my thumbnails. I put a lot of effort into changing my thumbnails and making them look better.
Okay.
And I think the new improved version came out way better anyway.
Got you. So I think that
specific thing was an actual attack on me. It was like, these thumbnails are shit. But I just took it on board. And I was like, okay, well, maybe they're not. Like, I'm taking it personally, but actually maybe that person's telling the truth and they are shit thumbnails.
Yeah, 100%.
So let me just change it up. And so I did, and I felt a lot better about it afterwards. But the thing that made me immune to the shitty comments was doing the interviews for Vlad TV.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine you got some stick on there.
The audience on Vlad's channel are ruthless, bro. They
brutal,
are fucking savage. Like, ridiculously savage. And, like, I'll maintain the interviews I did on Vlad's channel are top tier. Like, elite interviews, bro. Like, very, very high quality interviews. But that audience just fucking hate me.
Wow.
But the thing is, I was reading through, because when my first interview on there dropped, I was reading through. And when I was seeing negative comments about myself, I did at first take it on board. And I was like, oh, shit, maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. Like, actually, like, why do so many people dislike me? And then I realized, the thing is, this is because this content is out to a huge audience that is not my audience. They're not my fan base. And naturally, anyway, like everybody knows, the comments on the Vlad TV interview, people chat shit. They're horrible people. Do you know what I mean? Like, they will literally cuss anything.
100%.
So as soon as I took that on board, I thought, well, these people aren't my fans. They're not the people that watch my content. They're the people that watch Vlad TV content, which is a different platform. So it doesn't actually matter if they're chatting shit about me, because that doesn't affect the people that do fuck with me.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I've got my tribe over there on my channel that do like my content, and that's the comments that I will take on board. All of this trolling and all this stuff over here doesn't bother me. And after that moment, actually, I realized that, you know what? I don't care about the negative opinion of other people. Like, if my peers tell me something, which they would never be like, you're shit, but they might be like, look, you could improve here by doing this, or seeing this interview when you did that, I think you should have done this. If my friends and my peers tell me this, I'll take it on board. But some random person in the middle of nowhere, like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, 100%. Like, especially on the internet, bro. The internet, bro, is just like, half of these people are hiding behind profiles and know they can just be on there talking the most shit. And it's like you said, you've jumped into a built platform. And maybe the fact that that's more of an American platform as well. They obviously do UK interviews and bits and bobs, but I feel like
the British
thing didn't rub them up the right way in it as well. So maybe,
but I mean, that was partly it. But I mean, it's just if you go on any of the interviews on the channel and look at any of the look at the comment section on any of the interviews, majority of them are negative, and they're just trolls. Like, that's just generally the people that watch it. That's what their comments are like.
So yeah, I hear that.
As soon as I clocked that, I was like, well, it's not me, it's them.
Yeah, 100. I feel like you have to kind of go through it to get around it as well, like, to deal with it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, everyone's like, you get people will say, oh, yeah, no, it doesn't really affect me, but like, it definitely will do at the beginning when you've never dealt with it before.
100%.
Brother, 100%. It fucking does, man. Like, and that can put you in the mud for a minute. I've definitely been there myself, but I feel like you have to go through that to get your head around it. And then once you come out the other side, you realize that half of that shit is just completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
Like you say, as long as the people, like, you've got your core fan base, the people closest to you, the people that understand and get it and that fuck with you, like, they're the people that you listen to.
Yeah.
But like you say, sometimes, like with the artwork, like, situation,
yeah,
you just said.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, you got to take each situation, like, sometimes they might not be chatting shit, do you know what I mean? But it's being able to read into it.
Yeah, right. I mean, they put it across in a negative way, but it's actually feedback.
Yeah. The way they've written it is obviously doesn't come across.
Your thumbnails are shit.
Yeah, 100%. But like you say, you go back to the drawing board there, and you've lifted up your artwork, it helped
improve. However, what I will say is I'm not encouraging people to now just start cussing everything I do on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, please.
Your videos are shit. Your voice is rubbish. Shave your beard.
Yeah. Shave your beard. Cut your hair, bro.
Cut your hair. But yeah, anyway, back to the tweet. So yeah, I think that's going to mess up my vibe if someone's holding up a red card for a song.
Bun these guys, man. Allow this stupid behavior, yo. Jesus, come to the club and have a dance, mate. Have a little drink, kiss a girl.
What happened to meeting girls in the club, man? Why are all these guys coming and doing all
why,
this?
Why have we got 100 men on the wall just staring like hyenas, bruv?
Just I mean, wait, I'm not
but,
gonna.
But then they don't even do nothing, though. They don't even do nothing. I'm like, move. What happened to me? They don't even move to the girl. Yeah. They just come out and stare. Putting them under pee. And then the girl don't even want to dance because the girls are in the middle dancing and there's 100 men in a circle just staring into the middle. But it's like, yo.
Yeah.
God, I don't. Wait, what happened, man? What happened to this going out, having fun, chatting to girls, like having a little drink and that, being friendly? Like, now it's all a bit mad, yo. All a bit washy, bruv.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a bit mad. But anyway, if there's any security, any bouncers listening to the pod, which I know actually some bouncers do, so door staff, security and whatnot, if people are coming in and you search them and they've got green, yellow and red cards on them, take them away. Just treat that stuff like contraband. We don't want to see coloured cards in the club.
Oh, mate. Please. Yeah.
What a mess.
That's red card behaviour.
That is itself, red mate. Card behaviour, literally.
Bloody hell, bruv.
What a mess. Yeah. Go on, have you got another story to tell today?
Oh, no, my other, bro, do you know what? It's not even a story, really. It's a bit of a gripe. I found a rat.
Let's have it.
It's a bit of a gripe. And I actually put it into the public domain because I just thought it was that rags, right? So do you know what? I'm just going to put it out there, bruv. So I had to do a rehearsal this week, yeah, and we needed a space. We've all heard of pirate studios. Uh-huh. Like they've been out here forever. It's basically like a rehearsal DJ like rental space. It's got like DJ rooms, rehearsal rooms. Like you can go in there, podcast. We've used the ones down in London to do episodes before. I've not used one for ages. They've been around for time. Like I remember back in the day when they first came around, like on job, they used to be okay. Equipment always used to work.
Yeah,
fine. Like when we did I think we recorded. It was when we did like Chucky and Martin, Too Smooth and a few of ones. Dope episodes. Uh-huh. Absolutely fine, no issues. So not been there for ages. There's one 5 minutes from my yard. It's like, cool, we need to book a space. We need someone with a setup. Cool, sweet. Booked it in. Drive over there, park up. Bro, like shutters are down. There's graffiti all over the walls. I'm like, have I just pulled up into the ghetto or what? I don't know what's going on. Is this Pirate Studios? Don't know what's going on. Of course, I'm thinking, sweet. But so I'll put the code in. Opened the door, walked in. I'm walking. I looked down. No lie, bruv. There was a giant rat just chilling casually on the floor, dead, just like that.
Dead.
Legs up, looking right at me, bruv. It wasn't alive. It was dead. And I thought, bro, and at this point, I'm thinking, Wagwan, there's nobody on site. Obviously, they don't really have staff members.
I think that's how they operate, isn't it? It's robots.
So there's nobody on site, right? I'm thinking, might have seen a rat. Happy days. I keep it moving. I go to the studio. I type my code in. Open the door. Pitch black. Nothing's working. The lights don't turn on. I'm looking for a light switch. Yeah, no lights. Decks ain't turning on. Nothing. I'm stood in the fucking dark. Right. So I go walking around the building. Can't find nobody. There's no. I'm knocking on studios. There is no one in any studio. I am the only person in the whole of the building, yeah? Then, around the corner, I've seen an electrician. Up a ladder, like, with his head in the ceiling, yeah? And he'd like, fucked up all the electrics. This one random electrician in there, yeah? He's like, oh, yeah, he should be back on in, like, 25 minutes. I booked, like, 2 hours for this rehearsal.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, I've just paid for the studio. I've got an artist on the way here right now. Like, what am I supposed to do? Not only that, there's a giant rat chilling in the foyer. So I've got the guy that brought him around. And we're all just looking at this. Well, me and him are just looking at this rat and we're laughing. And I'm thinking, I can't contact no one. So I've gone. So there was a QR code on the wall. You can scan it and contact someone on WhatsApp. I've just sent him a picture of the rat to the WhatsApp. Bro. They ignored me.
Did it blue tick? Did they see
it? You can't get the blue ticks when it's like you need to be in like a group thing. I've got them turned off online, innit? So you can't see it. So I thought, they ignored me. So I thought, right, I'm taking it to Twitter, mate. So I went on Twitter and put it out there. Now loads of DJs and loads of people are sharing it and it's out there. They've not replied.
Did you post the picture?
No, I didn't post the picture, man. I should have done those, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should have definitely tweeted the picture.
Brother, when that artist got there, yeah, and he's seen the rat. My man's filming it playing, what's that? I took the top off. What's that? What's that? About the rat being beheaded, yo. This just ended up being a rehearsal, like, not even a rehearsal, because we only got the lights on like halfway through the time that we paid for. We just ended up laughing at this rat. But I'm just thinking, these are meant to be like leaders of like DJs having accessible, like affordable, accessible rehearsal rooms. But yeah, they're in the mud, man. No equipment didn't work. Like, not only that, check this, yeah, when we finally got it on. And they have a mic, yeah. And my man's gone to get the mic to like, obviously, we're just going over some lyrics and whatever else. And he's gone to run back. He's gone to, like, move to the back of the room. Bro, the mic wire was about as long as my finger, and the mic just went flying because we didn't realise how small the mic lead was. So he's just gone to run to the back of the room, and it's literally just gone, boom, the mic's gone swinging the other way, smacked into the wall. And we were, bro, at this point, we're just laughing, scratching our heads, thinking, we can't do this. We just can't do this. I want a refund. I want a fucking refund, mate. Oh, my money back. Chilling with rats. Mic leads about as long as my little finger. Equipment wasn't working. Some dodgy, I don't even know if the electrician was legal or what he was guy, even doing in there. Some guy just, in there just on a ladder, like, sorry, mate.
Stealing all the copper pipes from the building.
I couldn't believe it. Not only that, the room stunk of beer. The room smelled like a brewery, bruv.
That's the sweaty rock bands that use pirate studios as well.
No, it was a DJ suite. It was one of the DJ suites. So someone's probably gone in there and had a turn up on a Friday night or whatever. But yeah, I just think pirate studios, you got to do better, guys.
Pirate studios.
Pirate. Literally, take off the E. Oh, my days. Oh, my days, man. So anyway, I think they tweeted me like 10 minutes ago. But since we started recording...
What did they say? Oh, we're getting a live response, everyone.
We're getting a live response. Look, there they are. I don't know if you can get a thingy. It was like, hey, really sorry to hear this. Could you please send me your email address via DM so we could look into what was going on? I just told you. What are you going to look into? You're going to send the exterminator over? The rat was dead, bruv.
They don't need the exterminator now. They just need a dustpan and brush.
And then they followed me.
they're gonna unfollow you after this episode.
They're definitely gonna unfollow you after this. But I'm just like, it's getting retweets and traffic now. Oh, pressure. But I just thought it's just not on.
It's not on, to be fair. Like, you need a good, decent studio space. Like, especially if you're as creatives as well, you need to really be in the mindset, in the mind frame to do what we do. Like, you can't turn, like, just imagine even like, you can't turn up at a studio in a shit mood and start being a creative as a DJ or do rehearsals. Mm-hmm. If you're in a bad mood, you're not in the mood now to perform or do whatever. So like those factors, I'm surprised you even managed to get the rehearsals underway, bro.
The
rat thing wouldn't have bothered me really. I grew up in the countryside, bro. We like see that shit on the driveway every day. Do you know what I mean? Like, doesn't bother me.
I hear that. But when you see rats in pipe, like what the rats run around, rats are around dirty areas, shitty gaffs. Like, why is there a rat chilling in the main lobby on the floor?
Chilling.
Like, this building needs a...
chilling.
It was chilling, bro. It was laying on his back, feet up in that.
It's just lounging, bro. It's just catching some rays.
It's just
lying out. It had a hard session in the studio, and it was just... You know how it gets after work?
My man rented out our studio. That's what the bass smell was. The rat was in there turning up, G.
It wasn't dead. It was just.
It didn't even make it outside before it collapsed.
Excellent.
Oh, it's a sticky one. Anyway, I just had to put that out there because it ruined my day yesterday. That did. And then for the cheek of it, when your time is up, the equipment turns off.
I thought you were going to talk about the rat again then. When your time is up.
when your time's up, it's up.
When God wants you back, you're going, mate. It doesn't matter if you're in pirate studios or not. You are going to die when your time is up.
Yeah, they just literally lock the gear off, innit? It's like they switch the electrics off on you when you go over your time limit or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's like an electric timer. That's quite an irritating thing.
It's very techie, but how long's that rat been there is what I want to know. Like, that rat could have been there all week, bruv. Anyway, it doesn't even matter. It's done. Pirate.
Pirate.
Do better, please, guys.
I had something that spurred the next train of thought. I was DJing the other day, as you do, and this woman come up to me in the club, and she goes, something, she said, she asked me a question I haven't heard for years, right? She goes, have you got any CDs to give away?
Wow.
First of all, I thought, what year are you from?
That's a relic comment.
Literally. Like, I mean, I actually kind of was just like, oh no, sorry, I don't. Like, I was a little bit stunned as well. I was thinking like, I didn't really think that was a thing anymore. And I used to be like, for the people that know me, like I used to be very, very big on the mix CDs. I mean, I guess a lot of the DJs that came from where we come from.
Yeah, the mixtape era was a big thing.
That for us as up and coming DJs, that was the business card. That was our version of what a lot of DJs do on like TikTok now, where they're doing mixes and little mashups and stuff. Like
that's a sick way to put it, actually. That was our way of
building a fan base, and that was our way of being like, you'd hand your mix CD to promoters. I got a residency in one of the most successful nights at the time in Brighton off of giving a promoter a mix CD. And I remember actually, because I put Mario Let Me Love You in the mix, and it was like brand new. It wasn't even a big song at this point. And he said he listened to the mix, heard that song, and was like, I'm giving this guy a job. And he even told me, it was just a warm-up thing. I was still quite a young DJ, but he was like, I gave you that job. Like, you got the job working with us because of that song specifically in the mix. But yeah, sorry,
that was before the attention spans died and people would listen to a whole mix.
Yeah, imagine that. I have like 90, or I think they were 80 minutes. That's how long CDs were. 80 minute mixes that people would slap. And the funny thing is, a lot of people, I did it. I got to a point where I was just doing one a year. I do the summer mixtape and that would be my thing.
The legendary summer mixes.
The summer mixtape. And that's the thing, bro. Like, people would slap a summer mix for an entire year. It would get to May, and then people start messaging me and coming up to me in the club like, oh, when's the next summer mix coming out? Because I've been listening to the last one for a year now. I need a new one. Really, that's what would happen. And I built up like, I was able to shift quite a few thousand copies of the CD. I'm going to say shift, I'm giving them away. It's like free promo. I'm not selling them.
That's what people didn't realize. Either like, we would spend racks and buy boxes. Because we would buy boxes. We would get boxes of these pressed.
Bruv, I even...
Shout out Blade at Quickburn, by the way, if he's still about.
Nah, but you know what? I even actually at one point went as far as buying a CD duplicator to get the cost down and doing it myself.
Yeah, you went in.
When you're doing a run of 5,000 mix CDs and your CD burner does 7 at a time, not 7,000, 7. Mm-hmm. 7 CDs at a time and you have 5,000 to do. Bro, that is a long fucking week.
Yeah, the grind was real, man.
The grind 100%. But anyway, so I stopped doing them because I realized there was, I don't remember what year, it might have been, I think it was 2019 is when I stopped doing them. So fairly recent. But I got to a stage where I literally couldn't give them away. Had a couple thousand and maybe gave 1,000 away. And what I was finding is I'm in the clubs giving them to people and they're looking at me like, thanks. Yeah, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, real talk.
And I'm even realizing, like, first of all, I learned very quickly, don't take them to student nights. They're all streaming. They don't listen to DJ mixes. And they don't have cars. So there's no CD player in the car. And then I realized a lot of cars don't even have CD players.
I can't remember last time I've seen a CD player even in someone's crib.
No, in someone's house, no. I mean, unless they've got a games console, you've got an Xbox, but even or PlayStation, do the new Xboxes and PlayStations even have CD drives?
I haven't had a console for a long time. I have no idea.
My Mac doesn't have a CD drive. I don't know a single Mac that does, but do you know what I mean? It's like, it's really like a dying form. But so anyway, this girl in the club asked me if I had any CDs to give away. And I was just like, no, unfortunately not. Randomly, the same night, one of the security came up and asked if I had any CDs to give away. It made me think, like, I firmly do believe mixed CDs are dead. I don't think I would do
I don't think it's dead for the older generation. I think the older gen will still rock it because some people stick to what they know and are still running CDs and shit, man. Like,
yeah, but which is true. But if you're giving them away as a DJ, what's the point of giving them to the older generation who don't go to the clubs anymore?
Yeah, fully. Like,
if that's the case, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a 2023 mix CD. And if you want one, you have to buy it now.
Yep.
Because if you're the older generation and you do still have a CD player and you do want a new CD, why am I giving it out for free? Why am I spending hundreds of pounds on CDs to just give them away when you're not even going to come to the club? So I'm not even going to see a return even 100%. In terms of like fans. Do you know what I mean?
It used to hold value when you give them out back in the day. Like, I remember coming through, I would get boxes made and like it would turn into like, it would flip into people coming to the club nights and people engaging in you, grabbing you on social media. Like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, listen, I remember getting boxes, like probably 2,500 CDs FedExed to Ayanapa, ready for when I got there to give them out.
Yeah. Dope.
I had that. That was really a thing. Doing the Summer Islands and that, I would ship a box of CDs out ahead of me so that when I got there, there's CDs to give out. And that back then, this is what I was saying at the start, that back then was our business card. That was the way we built fans. Because giving them out in the summer, in all the summer resorts, I would come back and if I had like a booking in Sheffield, I remember specifically saying Sheffield, there was a group of girls from Sheffield who got my CD in Ayanapa. So they came to the event in Sheffield because they knew I would be there. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Dope. And then different pockets of people around the country that all had my CDs. And occasionally now I'll get someone will hit me on Instagram or hit me on Facebook even or Twitter and be like, oh, look what I found. And they'll send a picture of a CD that they had from me. And that's not isolated. I guarantee that happens to a lot of DJs that did mix CDs.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It made me think, like, I went on a bit of a train of thought after that and thought, I haven't done a mix for a while. I haven't done an actual DJ mix. And I thought, does anyone care? Do DJ mixes really still even do anything other than is it just fun for us to make a mix? Like, where? Because there was a time, obviously, Nathan Dorr blew up on the DJ mix thing. Rusky blew up on the DJ mix thing. Like, there's other deal. Obviously, you were doing the Mixcloud thing. You built a huge fan base for your mixes.
Yeah, it's just sat there now, dormant, man. It's depressing.
There was a lot of mixtape DJs. Mm-hmm. I said, we're even calling them mixtapes. You know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of mix DJs that would do online mixes. And that was where they got a huge fan base from. But I just don't.
I'm not sure if, like, when I look back at it, I invested heavily into Mixcloud. Yeah. I was doing like weekly mixes for years. Like, there's hundreds on there. I think I amassed like bloody 6 million plays on there or something crazy. I can't remember what it was in total.
Yeah.
But then when I really break it down, like, I'm just like, did it really help me like that? Like, it was just random people from all over the world tapping in and listening to the mixes. But again, in turn, is it like they're not coming to the rave, they're not coming to the dance? It was kind of the same thing, really. Mm. And I just became obsessed with building that number, building the numbers as high as I could on there. And it just became a more of a rat race and a chase. And don't get me wrong, I put time into the mixes and that. But when I look back, I was like, was it really, did I invest in that too heavily? Or was it off the back end of like the mix thing really dying? But then I tested it in the summer. Last summer, I did a little Afrobeats mix and I kept it private. And I was just like, if you want the link, send me an email or whatever. And it was just a way of like building up my mail out and enticing people in.
That
did like a couple thousand, like just from posting it on like my Instagram, really. It was just a straight Afrobeats mix. And I thought, is there still a market there for it? But you're right, man. Like, people engage in different ways with music now, but like they tailor their own playlists, like they build up their little liked songs on Spotify so they can listen to whatever they want as and when. Do they really care about the mix? There is people out there that care about transitions and mixes. Like, you've got like Soul Action are out here still doing a lot of stuff. They've got a massive fan base and there definitely is a market for it, but it ain't the wider one. Do you know what I mean? It definitely ain't the wider audience. Like, mixtape game used to be so strong. Like you say, Rusky, Nathan, prime examples of people that's careers blew off putting mixes out. And look where they are now. Like, they're still out here doing amazing things. Like, especially Nathan. Facts. Like, Nathan's now doing top 10 records. gone. And that was all off the back of doing. I remember like gold edition mixes and all like different colored themes and stuff. Gone yeah, clear. Yeah. But yeah, I agree, man. It's pretty much dead in the water. It's pretty much dead in the water, isn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was just for me. And because like the thing is, in terms of online content, obviously my stuff was predominantly interviews. But through lockdown, I started doing weekly mixes. And I had the themes. Mine was like 30 minutes off. So it was 30, and then whatever I felt I did, 30 minutes of slow jams, 30 minutes of drill, 30 minutes of old school hip hop, 30 minutes of R&B, like whatever I felt at the time. And I was uploading it onto Mixcloud, but not getting hits, getting like 200, 300, maybe 400 hits. And that's not, like, that's not numbers.
Do you reckon the saturation of it as well? Because I remember jumping on Mixcloud very early. I was one of a handful of DJs that went on Mixcloud right at the very, very start. It's probably why I managed to get ahead of it.
Yeah.
But then everybody was just doing, like you said, themed mixes, 20 minutes of this, all about Chris Brown, Drake mix. Like, and then before you know it, there's 75,000 DJs all doing the same kind of themed mixes. And it just became a big, Mixcloud just became a big giant cesspit of DJ mixes to the point where you don't even know what you're picking out anymore.
But I mean, they had problems, didn't they? Because they ran across a lot of copyright issues, which made them change how they formatted everything. And then you had to then pay to get a proper account. Or if you had a free account, you couldn't rewind a mix, and then you couldn't listen to it more than three times in a week or something like that. Like, and I think that combined with the listeners being able to listen to any song they want on demand, whether it's through YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, they can build their own playlists. So now they can listen to any song they want with the next song in that order. I don't think generally they really care that much about transitions. You're right. Like, I don't think the wider audience cares whether that fits into that, or if you're beat juggling this, or if you then mash up this with that into that mix. And like, no, I don't think they really care. I think there is probably a core audience. I reckon if you used to drop a Mixcloud mix and focus all of your marketing on that mix, I think you could do serious numbers based off of what you built as a mix DJ. But then again, it's like, what's the point?
It's techy on Mixcloud now, bro, because obviously I don't even have an account anymore. But if I go onto my account, check this. Where is it? Stylo. Oh, wait. I'm just going to tell you. I'm pretty certain you can't even play my mixes on there anymore because of some other rules that have come into play.
Mad.
I'm not actually subscribed now, but there's an upload limit. So whenever I go on my page now, it just says, oh, yeah, you are over the upload limit, blah, blah, blah.
And you can't even... You had the premium account and then that's lapsed because you've not paid for it, right?
No,
so...
but there's 180 mixes on there. Like,
yeah,
what a waste.
Yeah, so the standard one must only allow you to have a certain amount of mixes.
Yeah, I made a decision to just like, am I really going to invest in that anymore? Like, is that really where it is? And like, as much as I love Mixcloud and it did help me in certain ways, and like, we've even sat down with the CEOs and stuff. We've had them on the pod before, like back in the day. Like, they're good guys. Like, shout out Nico and that, top people. But even they must be sat there now scratching their heads thinking, like, what is the future for this? It must be.
What's the next step? I think, like, I don't know. I think there is a very niche audience for it, in a sense that if you look at what some people are doing on Twitch, Annabelle's quite a good example, actually. She's got quite 100. A good Twitch following. And although I don't watch all of her shows, like when I have tapped into what she's doing, she generally, her thing seems to be like mad remixes of stuff. I've never ever heard her play a normal song. And by that, I mean like, the original version of a song.
Yeah, it's 100%.
Either the beat mashed up with something else or some crazy, like, I don't know even the genre of what some of it's called. You know what I mean? But like, no, I don't. Like, it's generally like, what, like, some of it's that, how do you pronounce it? Is that like Barley Funk or something like that?
Yeah, she's on like the Bell Funk, Future Bell Beat Funk, sounds, yeah. Like all these up-tempo edits and that. I've locked into that. Me and Annabelle met on Twitch through lockdown.
Yeah.
But that's so like
her type of thing, I think if you're a DJ that does that kind of thing, I think there is a market there because she will provide something that no one else, you can't hear on Spotify all these bootlegs and mashups and remixes and big heavy drops on certain just crazy productions. I think that's where it's at. But I think generally...
There's more to it on Twitch as well, bro. Twitch is more like a entertainment thing too.
Yeah, but I'm talking outside of Twitch. So if she's to do that set, I think she could then take the audio of that set and upload it as a mix for people to listen to. Or I think doing that kind of music as a mix where it's not music that's available anywhere else. I think that's where the most successful DJ
providing something unique and different.
Yeah.
Standing out from the bunch.
All the top 40 stuff that you're going to hear on the radio, and I'm talking top 40 like rap or R&B or dancehall and stuff like that.
It's not cutting it.
I just don't know if the audience gives a shit. Because if you're going to do, for example, let me just say I'm going to do like a best of 2022 dancehall mix. Well, they might not like one or two of the songs that I put in there. And now because it's a mix, they can't skip to the next song. Do you know what I mean? And the people's attention spans are too short, so they can't skip to the next song. So now they're just going to go on Spotify and follow a dancehall 2022 mix on Spotify. And if one comes up, they'll just block it or they just skip next. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it, the user has so much control on the other DSPs now that as a DJ mix, if they're not musically minded, why are they going to listen?
We've got to blame the streaming platforms, mate.
Well, I mean, is it also just the streaming platform's fault or is it the DJ's fault for being lazy?
Combination of both. Like you say, before Spotify was about, you couldn't just go online and select your liked songs and go through your playlists. Like streaming evolved the whole thing rapidly, man. Like you didn't have access to all that, to anything like that. Curated playlists, algorithms that pick out stuff that you like. Like now when you like, when you find a place you like now, it comes, it gives like, it's like an algorithm at the bottom where it has songs that align with the stuff that you're playing from that playlist. And they normally, they're pretty on job with it. It nails it 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
So it's like that, all that stuff never existed. So putting out a mix, a curation of dope songs that people would be more likely to tap into it because they didn't have the option of, oh, we'll go Spotify and just find a playlist and instead. Now the options are so wide and varied. It just waters down everything else.
I think copyright killed the mixes as well.
And bro, the copyright was an extreme issue for sure.
Really killed the mixes because I do feel like as well as much as I think the general population, because they're on Spotify, won't come over to Mixcloud to listen to a mix.
Mm-hmm.
I do think if mixes were available on Spotify, you could do numbers on Spotify through a mix. Like, I do think that audience is there. Like, I think even just, okay, so just for example, a great one would be if there's a group of people having a house party, but they don't have a DJ for the house party and they don't want gaps in between the songs.
Mm-hmm.
There, boom. I've got a 60-minute house party mix. There you go. So now they're just putting on a DJ double mix to just pre-drink to and get lit. Do you know what I mean? Like that, and it's all going to be party tunes. So it doesn't have to be all the crazy mixes and edits and stuff.
I'm pretty certain they have started uploading certain DJ mixes online, but it's more for like, I say bigger DJs, but like they've got things like this, like DJ mix, like officially sponsored, like Key and Crates, who do like, they're like an edit. They do like edits. I've got loads of their stuff off Bandcamp and then it's all track listed. So you can flick through, like it's individually split and stuff. So
that's interesting. I didn't know.
Yeah, they started doing it. I actually hacked it and put a mix up there. The Afrobeats one that I was talking about before. I actually hacked that through. I won't say how I done it, but I've got a DJ mix on there. It lasted about 3 days, mate, before I got taken down.
That's the thing. I think this is a double-edged sword. I've got mixes on Spotify. Like I have DJ mixes on Spotify that shouldn't technically be there because of copyright.
Right.
But they haven't been taken down because they haven't really done numbers. And I've never like marketed them. When I do mixes nowadays, if I was to do a mix, I just do it for me. Do you know what I mean? Like I have a Burna Boy mix standard. I've got a 30 minutes of Burna Boy mix that I did during lockdown that I listen to almost every day when I'm in the gym. Like I listen to it for me. It's got like nearly 1,000 plays. I think they're mostly me.
the guy's running up his own numbers.
Yeah, standard. But I listen to that every day because I did that. I didn't do that mix for everyone to listen to. Everyone can listen to it, but I did that mix because I wanted that mix. Do you know what I mean? And that was how I kind of approached my mixes through lockdown. Was like, if I want to do this because I want to do this mix and I want to listen to it. But
Spotify stuff, bro, it's great putting DJ mixes up, but like, talk about being selective, bro. Like, Tiesto, Idris Elba and that, like, none of us guys stand a flipping chance.
Again, that's label stuff.
That's what I'm saying. That, so they're obviously going and doing the dirty work, but I can't see, like, normal people like us ever being able to get access to put mixes on these platforms. It's obviously going to be the bigger producers, the bigger DJs that have label access that can go and get all the copyright clearances and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's... Whether that'll be, that's probably never ever gonna happen. And Mixcloud, not sure. SoundCloud, not been on there for a minute. I go on there for edits sometimes.
SoundCloud, you know.
I've got
eight different SoundCloud profiles only because I didn't want to ever pay. So whenever mine was full up, I'd start
this
a
little
new one.
Cheesecake.
I started a new SoundCloud every time I filled one up. And then straight onto the next one. But yeah, I'd be interested to know if there's any DJs listening, if they still do mixes, why you still do a mix, and do the mixes still do numbers? Mm-hmm. Like, there might be DJs listening now that are like, you two are chatting shit because my mixes are doing numbers and I get bookings every day off my mixes. If that's the case, hit me up. Like,
people are still doing numbers, bro. Like, I'm sure Rusky put something up the other week and he was flying on there. And I think Day Day and a few of the other guys, they're still putting stuff up there.
That's good. I mean, I hope I'm wrong because I'm a big fan of DJ mixes and I'm a huge advocate for that. Like, I think it is part of the art form that I felt has been lost, and I think it should definitely still be a thing. But yeah, 100%. Maybe it's just irrelevant to me because I don't do them and haven't done them for a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Like, obviously the lockdown ones, but like I said, they were kind of self-indulgent ones. I didn't really count them as like, I posted them on a public forum, but with zero expectation, and I didn't really shout about it like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were for me.
I'd love to hear.
If someone's still doing numbers with the mixes, like, yeah, shout me. Let me know. Like, I'd like to know everyone's opinion on this one. Like, how, as a DJ, how do you feel about doing mixes? Is it a ball ache? Like, oh, I've got to do a 60-minute mix. Or are you like, oh, sick, you know what? I want to do a mix. Get it out there. Boom, boom, boom.
We need to post this on the Insta and we'll see if we can get some replies out of people.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get a few people in the spot. I'll tell you what though, but one thing that hasn't died this week, that is a celebration for all DJs across the world. Yeah.
Tell me.
DJ edits, bruv.
DJ
remixes, right? So I am super gassed about this, yeah, because this is something that has been part of my like DJ flex since forever. It's like remixing, edits, instrumentals, acapellas, all that kind of stuff. And this week, something unique happened, bro, in the last 2 weeks. So shout out a DJ out in New York. Let me just check he's from New York because this guy will kill me because we follow each other. Yeah, yeah, NY. We're good. Unless there's not anywhere else in America that goes under NY, is there? Anyway, shout out DJ Eccentric, yeah? This guy has been out here doing edits for the longest. And when I say, like, you only talk about blends and they're a bit off-key or, I mean, the acapella isn't suiting. Eccentric is the guy that harmonizes these edits where they sound like an original track, yeah. The guy's been on this since forever. I buy all his edits on Bandcamp, wherever he posts them, SoundCloud, all that kind of stuff. So he dropped an edit it was a couple of months back now, and it was a slow jam edit of Beyonce's Cuff It, which is like one of the biggest songs in the world right now. So he mashed it up with an old Twista joint called Wetter. You'll know the track if you listen to it. Anyone out there that listens to it knows about old school hip-hop, R&B, whatever, you'll know the joint. These two records sit harmoniously, bro. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So this is circulating across all social media. He's put it on Instagram, Twitter, he's running up numbers on Bandcamp, all that stuff. Brother, this man's edit got picked up by Beyonce herself, G. and pretty certain they signed it like officially. Bro, imagine making an edit in your crib and Beyonce signs it up.
Yeah, that's mad.
I found a little write-up online. DJ Eccentric is behind the new cut. The remix was released to Beyonce's website. He tweeted, "So, I've been hiding this for a while now, and I can finally say Cuff It Wetter remix is official. Thank you to Beyonce, Parkwood, and most importantly, the DJs and the fans that supported this from the start. Love to all." As most of the Beehive is probably aware, the popular DJ is known for doing creative mashups of popular hits. He first merged Cuff It and Wetter in October, which went viral on TikTok, where the Cuff It challenge had been thriving for months. So there you go. The TikTok thing has fueled the fire as well.
Yes, TikTok
Twister,
again.
Twister also acknowledged the release in a tweet. He wrote, "Happy Friday," while sharing a link to the track. So then Beyonce has then picked it up. Now, they've posted the credits now. So when we're talking about giving DJ their kudos and that, bro, like, my man's in the credits. It's all gone out there official. Cuff It, Wetter remix with the credits. He's in there. It is super, super legit.
Is he in there? Is he credited as a producer?
So the actual official credits say, Cuff It, Wetter remix, produced by Beyonce, co-produced by Trackstar, additional production by Eccentric.
Yeah.
Contains samples from Wetter as performed by Twister.
So there's a lot of like legal red tape around doing something like this and releasing it. But obviously Beyonce being Beyonce, she can probably get around most of that.
Beyonce can do anything she wants.
Well, I think, yeah, pretty much almost anything she wants, I think she can probably do. And mm-hmm. like, yeah, obviously that benefits the producer of the original Twister record, because if it's being sold as a single, he's now going to start getting his publishing money again. Yeah, that's good for everyone involved. And that's crazy, because Eccentric will probably make a decent amount of money from that. Because Beyonce's fan base is mad.
Bro, one of the biggest in the world. You just type Beyonce on Twitter, that's it. Just write Beyonce and see what happens.
No, I'll tell you what I dare you to do. Type Beyonce shit on Twitter and post it see what happens.
You're getting it in the neck. You're
going to get exiled from whatever country you live in.
Yeah, real talk.
For doing that shit. Like, that's how far her fan base reaches. Bro, it's mad.
Not only did she pick up the remix, yeah, apparently she revocaled some bits for it, specifically for that edit.
Yeah.
Now that is on a different level. Like, it's just a massive win for DJs. Like, I think Eccentric even posted that himself. I'm sure he wrote something like, it was a big win for DJs. Like, keep creating, bro.
Yeah.
Because you just do not know.
This is a massive moment, but this isn't a breakthrough moment, though. Because during lockdown, what was that kid called that made the Fat Joe record with Rihanna?
Morpheus.
Yeah, what song was that? I don't remember.
Yeah, it was... It was the Rihanna joint. I can't remember the original name.
It's literally just sitting on the side of my brain, and I can't remember which one it is. But you know what? It used like an old sample tune, and then he remixed it that way on TikTok or Instagram or whatever.
It was a Morpheus, man. Legend. I actually reached out to him to try and get him on, and he had us. even though he follows me, he had it. But yeah, he
But that one was released as a proper single as well, because I feel like DJ Khaled had something to do with that as well, didn't he?
Yep. Yeah, he did.
DJ Khaled had something, which obviously Khaled's quite powerful. But yeah, I think off the top of my head, I definitely feel like there's another very, very famous bootleg that made
it. There's big bootlegs, yeah, and then there's Beyonce picking up your edit.
But that is a huge
recutting vocals. Recutting vocals in the studio and that as well. And like, he's been doing this forever for the love. And you know, a lot of the edits he posts as well, yeah, like he just puts them out there like for free. A lot of people on Bandcamp charge they'll put £1 or £2 or whatever. He's just throwing them up.
I bet he's charging now,
bro. The price just went up, you know.
Yesterday's price,
you know what I'm saying? He's got another one which is like a Snow Allegra and Janet Jackson mashup, which is just even more beautiful, man. That's probably my favorite one he's ever done. And he posted that yesterday. He was like, right, we got this one picked up next.
You know, if it's done right, You can really slap the shit out of songs when you do it. I remember, do you remember the one that I did years ago? Temper T and BMF.
Oh, yeah.
The next hype on the BMF instrument.
Yeah.
Bullshit, yeah. I was sat at the computer and it probably took me about 20 seconds to make. Because I just, they were the same tempo and I just slapped the a cappella on the instrumental because I wanted a little bit more ammo for my club set. And Next Hype was more of a grime record and I didn't want to play it in a grime set. I wanted to play it in a hip hop set. So I just thought, let me just chuck it on here, see how it sounds. So, when I listened to it back, absolutely banged. And I was like, you know what? I'm sending this out to everyone I know. Sent it out to all the DJs. Bro, it was played on Choice FM. It's played on Kiss FM. It's played on Radio 1. Like, it's played everywhere. And for quite a few weeks, I'm hearing it. Like, Semtex is playing it on One Extra as well. Like, it was everywhere that rap was. Anywhere that BMF was getting played, and BMF was the biggest song at the time.
It was in there.
Anywhere that BMF is getting played, it's getting juggled, and then suddenly Temper T's on there as well. And that was my thing. Like, so yeah, if you can throw something and it sticks, it's absolutely sick.
I feel like it's clever from the labels as well. I feel like they should do this more. Like if a remix or an edit is hitting, especially with the way social media is now, like he's put that into TikTok when there's like a cuff it dance craze going on.
Yeah.
And then that slow jam edit has just slotted in there. His edit's
better than the original, bro.
There's a lot of people that say this. It's a completely different energy as well. It's a completely different energy though. Like it's an up tempo, like more of a dance, like disco it. Record.
I don't like.
And he's made it into a slow jam, but like you say, when the vocal and when it just
ties in very very well. I think that's sick. But what it does do as well, as with everything, it opens us up to a world full of shit mashups now.
Like, we had this conversation about crazy, stems, like, isn't it?
there's gonna be a billion DJs even trying to replicate it with this same song. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's gonna get mad. But
I think so. Somebody actually copied it and added some extra little bits to it and was running around on social media trying to take all the credit, and all the American DJs turned on him, man. And started going for him, and this guy was fully trying to back it, but he's like fully just bit the guy's whole thing and like added some extra sauce on top, and people are like, bruv, do you not understand what you're doing?
Throw him to the wolves. Kick him out.
Naughty behavior, but I just wanted to bring that up, man, because I'm a big part of this edit remix culture thing myself, man. Like I make like fucking 50 a week, mate.
But I mean that also backs up what I was saying just now about there being an avenue for original remixes. Do you know what I mean? Mashups and remixes. That also ties in with, you could do that in a mix. You could do a whole mix of mashups and remixes and that. And that's the new mixtape. That's the new DJ mix, instead of just playing the biggest 30 songs in a row.
Shout out to Eccentric, man. Make sure you follow him, guys, if you don't follow him.
Shout out to Eccentric. Yeah, I'm going to follow him now, actually.
Yeah, get him on the socials, bro. DJ Eccentric, Eccentric. Legend, bro. Legend. I just wanted to put that in there, man, because I feel like, obviously, I know Morpheus broke through with his joint. But this one just feels a little bit different. And then when you've seen videos at the Rock Nation Brunch the other day, and you've got Beyonce and all the superstars and all that, and what's playing? My man's edit, bro. And they're all singing along to it and that. Brother, do you understand how that must make man feel inside?
Yeah.
It's crazy, G.
Yeah, definitely.
Crazy.
I think, do you think...
Oh, so that... there you go. So he's posted the link, and I swear it's on Beyonce's website. I think it's up for sale on Beyonce's website, bro.
Sick. Good for him. Do you think it will benefit him long term in terms of his like DJ career? Because will people generally understand like that he's the guy that did it, or do you think they just praise Beyonce?
Possibly.
Beyonce,
I feel like he's
Beyonce
getting...
smashed it with this. Well, actually, she didn't really have anything to do with it.
I feel like he's getting his kudos online, but not everybody's gonna fuck on Hardy. Like,
I feel like DJs geek out a bit about this kind of shit. Like, we will be like, yeah, he's the guy that.
Like, they're selling it for £2 a pop on Beyonce's website, mate.
Mad.
It's crazy. It's actually crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, that's probably more expensive than the original.
£2 a song.
£2 for a song. That's more expensive than the 79p for the original.
Making sure man can eat, innit? So they can all eat together. I mean,
how many DJs do you reckon pay for music still?
I still buy music on iTunes all the time.
How many do you reckon do? Because I know a lot of younger DJs just do YouTube rips. They can't get a song. They're not part of a record pool. They're not on mail outs. And also, don't forget, like Apple, for example, you can't download music from Apple Music anymore.
No, not from Apple Music. You've got to be on the iTunes store, man.
Yeah, but you can't download MP3s anymore. They've stopped it.
No, you can't. I'm still downloading them now, bro. What do you mean?
Oh, well, my iTunes won't let me download MP3s. I have to stream them. So I'm just like, all right.
Bye. Really?
Yeah. So I go, for example, to Amazon Music. That's where I buy all my MP3s from.
Oh, so when you go onto when you load up iTunes and you search in the bar, and then you click iTunes on the right,
it comes play up. Option. It won't let me download MP3s.
What? Mine says price 99p. You download it and it goes straight into your library.
Yeah, that's it mad. Used to be the way, but I think like buying files just doesn't seem to be a thing with a lot of the younger DJs. They need a song. If they can't get it from a record pool, they're downloading it off of YouTube.
And I feel it's a whole other conversation, but like I'll play a lot of edits and stuff and stuff that's out there and it's accessible to the public. But a lot of people don't want to go and look for it. They'll just be like, send me that. I'm like, brother, do you even search for music? Do you even look for music? It's part of the job role. Go digging.
I definitely do that to you occasionally. Like, send me that.
Yeah, and I'm not sending it here.
Such a hater.
Don't be lazy, man. Not you in general. Go looking for music. Go digging for edits, man. Be different.
Yeah.
Put something in your set that stands out, yo. Like I was playing the original cover the other week in the club and then mixed that slow jam one in. But what I was doing it the track to the right. Tracks were playing together and I was jumping in and out. And all the gal were like, yo, what a gladness. Like, yeah. You don't know what's going on over here, mate. Like, don't be scared, guys. I mean, focus on different shit in there. I play mashups every set without fail. I make new stuff every other day, man. I'm a geek.
Yeah, right? I do play mashups, but more often than not, I make mashups every set. I'll do the acapella instrumental thing just on the fly because I feel like it. Like I have a large library of acapellas in my club folder, and whatever I'm feeling, I just turn that into a hip hop track now instead of a dancehall record, or I turn a rap song into I'm a piano song now. Do you know what I mean? And like do it kind of that way. I just
and now we got stems as well, bro. Like you can just do anything, innit?
Really. Yeah, my computer's not ready for stems yet. I'm still not there.
Yeah, I'm not doing it in the club. Stems is for home use only at the minute till I get a new laptop. Because my thing, when I start loading up stems on this laptop, brother, sounds like we're at NASA, mate.
Yeah,
sounds like we're about to go into orbit. Yeah, I'm just need to stay away. Machine. But so, yeah, man, big up Eccentric, big up all the mashup DJs. Keep creating, man. Keep doing your thing. You just never fucking know.
Yeah,
you just never know, bruv.
That's but, the thing as well. It really is that. Like, just keep whatever you feel to do, whatever you want your creative output to be. Just keep at it.
Keep doing it, man.
Is it actually? You know what? Is that even the right thing to say? Something will stick.
Yeah,
because I feel like for everyone, it doesn't.
Keep throwing shit out the wall or something.
Something will stick. I actually feel like I had this thought the other day when I saw.
It's not as easy as just saying that, innit?
I saw one of those trust the process posts. Trust the process. And I thought, that's all well and good for a successful person to say. But for someone that blew up just off of one opportunity to trust the process, in hindsight, is easy.
Yep.
But what about the 10,000 other people that didn't make it because they trusted the process and the process fucked them over?
No, it's true, man. It's obviously not. It doesn't stick in every aspect. It's not as simple as people make it out to be, in it. Oh yeah, trust the process. No, it ain't just that. It ain't that simple. There's other factors, man.
Yeah. But my favorite one, instead of trust the process, the phrase that I like the most that is around this whole creative stuff is hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
100%.
Like
1,000,000%.
You could be sick at this. You could be really good at your mashups and that. But it's about the work rate. It's not about trust the process. To me, says just sit down. You'll be fine. Like, you know, you, honestly, that's what that gives to me.
Just chill out the yard, don't, mate. It'll happen one day.
Don't work that hard because the process, just trust it.
Bro, there's people out there now. What did I tweet the other day? I posted something on my story and it was about there's someone out there right now living your dreams that you want to be living because they're working goddamn hard and putting themselves out there.
Fucking right.
You've got to go for it.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Putting themselves out there, yeah? In fact, I very nearly tweeted this the other day, but I couldn't find the right way to articulate it, so I didn't. But almost every single opportunity that I've had that has led to a successful breakthrough is because I asked for it. And I don't mean I prayed for it and asked God. I mean, I contacted the person in charge and said, can I do this, please? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That happened to almost every opportunity that I've had that has...
It isn't just going to land on your... people will be out here thinking it's just going to land on your lap. And
that's
it
what
just,
I think. That's what I think that. By believing trust the process, that's what I think people think is, oh, it's fine. I'll trust the process. I'm going to just not work today. I'm going to sit down today because I trust the process. 10 years of trusting the process and doing fuck all is still going to get you nothing.
I was going to say, the people that think like that, I've got low IQ, man. No offense.
Well, I mean, be offensive, bro. That's what we're here for. Wake them up.
Trust the process doesn't mean be lazy and one day it'll just happen for you.
Yeah.
You got to do everything in your utmost power to pull all them things together, to be part of that process, to actually work.
Yeah. And that's the key, work. It's that we're in the instant gratification stage as well, where people were like, oh, but I did this yesterday and it's not gone viral yet. So you know what? I'm not going to bother with it now. I'm going to do the next thing.
You just got to let that go, man. Keep throwing stuff.
Make a plan. Yeah, make a plan and then make your content and then roll with it that way. Even if your plan is, I'll see what happens in 24 hours. If it doesn't, I'll move on to the next one. Cool. But do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not, my point here is it's not trust the process. Don't sit down and trust the process. Like, work your ass off, and if you want something, ask for it. It's really that simple.
It's that simple, mate.
I think so.
Good way to finish that.
Yeah.
Some wise words of wisdom at the end. Yeah, don't be a lazy fucker.
Stop being a lazy prick. Turn this podcast off. Stop listening to us chat shit for hours. Go and do some fucking work.
Turn off Stylus and Double and turn your decks on, mate, and do something productive.
Stop listening fucking to us. Hell. Go and do some work. Talking about work.
That's what I need to do right now. I need to go and do some work. Indeed. So,
yes. Love. Keep listening to us at TalkOverPod on the socials, Instagram, Twittergram, TikTokgram, YouTube gram.
Trust the process gram.
Trust the process. That's not what we're calling this episode. Trust the process.
We're definitely not calling it anyway.
Stylo, Double, Talk Over Podcast for the DJs, by the DJs, number one in Finland. See ya.